Hello and welcome to Empowerment. I'm Kelly Whetstone. Thank you for joining me today. It is 10 a.m. Pacific time on Tuesday, August 27th, 2024. August is over on Saturday. Yay. That's all I can say. It was a strange, slow, fast month. I mean, it really did go by quickly, as they all have been. But honestly, I'm happy to see it go. It's been hot, but finally, in these past couple of weeks, we've had several rains in the afternoons and evenings, like really hot days, and then it'll cloud over and we have little rainstorms. And they're not anything really major. A couple of weeks ago, we had like three rainy days, and that was like heaven on earth. But I think this is what they call the monsoon season here in Colorado. My cousins that are ranchers always talk about it and count on that. You know, the afternoon rains through a certain part of the summer. And that's what this feels like. You know, when I was a little kid and, you know, off school for summer vacation, it's like we could count on a rain every afternoon. But they're just really lovely little peaceful cleansing rains, nothing major or crazy, and they don't really last long, but anyway, they've been a lovely reprieve from the hot weather, and as you can tell just by everything I've said, I'm really ready for fall. And I know that it's not like it's September and all of a sudden the switch is flipped and it's fall. You know, it's not. It's usually pretty hot in September too. We typically have an Indian summer, I think, pretty much every year. But we're moving in the right direction as far as I'm concerned. This is my favorite time of year. So anyway, that's just my little update on the weather that I give you every week, I think. But I appreciate you being here. Thank you so much for joining me. If you can, please join me in the chat room. Just go to 12radio.com and click chat. I have a packed teaching segment that I am really, really excited about. And you are welcome to ask questions about it or make comments in the chat room. And I will answer them after the show through Facebook. If you would like a reading or you want to talk to me, you can find me every day on 12listen.com. I'm available usually mid to later morning Pacific time into the evening. If you stop by and don't see me, or if I happen to be on another call, just schedule a call or put in a callback request. I'm notified immediately via text and will get back to you as soon as I can. We also have reduced rates on calls and chats a few times a week on 12listen, typically Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday. If you want to be notified of our specials, and also when something dramatic happens in the sky, you know, new and full moons, and 1-2 day, those are set, and holidays typically. But if you want to know, be notified of when our specials are, just sign up for 12 promotions, and you do that by visiting 12listen.com and leaving your email address. So it's easy, and then you don't miss anything. And just a reminder, the first series of the You Empowered classes begins September 19th on 12 Academy. You can see the class descriptions there. And I will post in the chat room a link to the full class descriptions, including beyond the first series. So you can see what's going to unfold as before it unfolds. Because once you take the first series, then that's the prerequisite. And there will be no other class descriptions posted on 12 Academy, because the only people that can take subsequent classes are the people that took the first series. So it's all, the first series is energetic tools to master your personal space. And the reason why it's a prerequisite, it's four classes, but the reason why it's a prerequisite is because it culminates in a meditation that will be the starting point of every class that follows. And the reason for that is because it's easier to take in information when you're in a grounded and neutral space. So I really hope you'll join me. I think these are going to be really, they're going to be good classes. I know they are. I've taught them for a million years, I think. But the cool thing about it is I've not taught this class for probably the last time, except on individual, to individual students, I believe was in 2018. So it's been pretty much 6 years since I've taught it to a group, and I've changed a lot and learned a lot in those 6 years. And so every time I teach it, it's different because I'm different. And for previous students, I am going to be sending out today a coupon. The people that were students in the Empowered Intuitive classes, I'm going to send out a coupon. Each class, every class going forward, is at a special price for you, and I will send out that discount coupon. And I hope you'll join me again, because if you took those classes then, you're a different person now. So just getting back into the information and the use of the tools and why you can use them and what they're good for and how important they are, because really and truly, you can. The only person that can change anything in your life is you. And when you have easy, simple, accessible tools to use, it's pretty amazing how much change you can affect in your life. And you know it, and you'll experience it through these classes. So anyway, enough about that. I hope you'll join me. I will put the link in the chat room in just a minute. Thanks again for being here today. Thank you for listening, however and whenever you do. There's programming 24/7 on onetworadio.com, and you can find archives of all of the shows from all of the hosts in the on-demand section at onetworadio.com. OneTwoRadio is a great source of information, inspiration, and support. So I encourage you to take advantage. And I also encourage you to visit the gratitude board at onetwolisten.com. All you do is post what you're grateful for, whether it's in your experience or something that you are working to demonstrate in your experience right now. That board is moderated by the OneTwoListen advisors 24/7, which means we add our attention to your intention, and that just empowers it. It's agreement, and agreement is powerful. So again, it's a way for us to support you, so I encourage you to take advantage of that too, especially because you can post anonymously. So please do. Please do. And lastly, before we move forward, because like I said, I've got a packed teaching segment, I want to thank Jay for producing the show today and just for all that he does for us on One Two Radio. And he does a lot. So let's move into the teaching segment by listening to a song by Ginkgo Garden called Blossoms from India. This is from the Buddha Lounge 2 CD and Sequoia Records. Enjoy it, and I'll be back right after. You're listening to Empowerment. I'm Kelly Whetstone, and I am very happy that you're here with me today. Thank you. Welcome back. I hope you enjoyed that music. I thought that's really nice music. I just like that piece of music. It's from the Buddha Lounge 2 CD and Sequoia Records. Sorry for my squeaky drawer that I just closed. Little sound effects here. Well, I'll tell you, I've been listening to several audiobooks. I was explaining to Jay that, you know, a while ago in the spring, I realized that I had this backlog of audiobooks credits for audiobooks on Audible. And I'd been, you know, I'd had a membership or subscription, I guess is a better word, for a long time. But the books that I buy are reference books, you know, books that I read and use to teach and to talk about on the show and to write from. And so I never bought a book that I just like read beginning to, or listened to, excuse me. Sorry, my voice is wonky, but we'll get better. that I really listen to beginning to end, because I always go back, you know, and glean more out of it. So when I ended my subscription, I had several credits, and I bought Three Magic Words by U.S. Anderson, which I thought, I don't know how many lessons out from recently. And another book that I bought was The Neville Collection, which is an audiobook that contains all 10 books that Neville Goddard wrote. Now, I've read all of them, some more than once, but just like Three Magic Words by U.S. Anderson, it feels like this is the first time I'm hearing this information. And that's because I've come a million miles in my understanding and evolution, and since I read them. This was a long time ago. And I go back and I read Neville every now and then, or pardon me, I listen to him. You can hear him on YouTube, and he's just phenomenal. But to really, you know, get into the books, and now I have gone through all 10 books, and it's just, it's, you know, my feet are 10 feet off the ground, you know, by the time I'm finished, because he's so inspiring and he's so lovely. And this is the man that reads it is good. It's a good narrator. Sometimes, you know, you get an audiobook and that's not the case, and it makes it really hard to get anything out of it because I'm bugged by the voice of the person that's reading. But this guy was good. And I can't remember his, Conrad, I think is his last name, something like that. But anyway, it, like I said, it's like I'd never read those books. And of course, I get it. I have a basic understanding of what Neville taught and his philosophy. I'm going to use that word. But it just hit me like a ton of brick. It just knocked me off my feet, because I see and understand differently now. You know, it's just like I was saying, you know, when I teach the classes this time around, even if you took them before, they're going to be different, because you and I are both different. And that's how this is. You know, I'm in a different place. I understand more. I've really broadened my horizons since I was listening to Neville 15 years ago or so. So as I was going back to one of the books, and it's called Your Faith is Your Fortune, is the name of the book that I wanted to share parts of and then talk some about, but mainly just, I want to share Neville. I also, as I was writing it, just got tapped on the shoulder to grab Ernest Holmes' Creative Mind. And that book is a tiny little book, but it's the book that the science of mind grew out of. It is a stick of dynamite, I'm telling you. And so lovely. The way Ernest Holmes writes is so lovely. You know, it's I can't even explain it, but I'm trying to make my voice sound like it makes me feel, you know, just solid. Not that Neville isn't, but Neville is just there's nobody like Neville. Nobody like Neville. There's nobody like any of these teachers. They all have their own voice through which God speaks. And we all have, you know, we have teachers that we love, and we have people that might be saying the same thing along the lines of what we're interested in and what we want to know more about, and they're just not our teacher. You know, because again, every single human being on this planet is in a different evolution. We're all in a different place, and they are all perfect. They are all perfect. So anyway, you know, what I grabbed out of Creative Mind, it just ended up being really magical how the two complement and support each other. So, you know, I became acquainted with Neville. Again, this is one of my breadcrumb stories, because I was listening to Reverend Ike, and Reverend Ike said that next to the Bible, Neville's book, Resurrection, was the most spiritual book he'd ever read. So, you know, of course, I had to find out about Neville, and was glad I did. I was kind of immersed in Neville for a long time. But anyway, Neville called himself an imaginist. He said, God in man is man's imagination. And I think, because of where I was in my life when I first heard that, that we hear the word imagination and run with it, because everybody has an imagination. But there's so much more to it than visualizing, and, you know, you visualize, you feel yourself in your desired end result. You wear, to quote Neville, you wear the mood of the wish fulfilled until it becomes natural. Well, yeah. Yeah, that's true. And then you see it in your experience because you believe it and because you are it. And the only way you manifest anything is by becoming it. You know, it's not just, I want that. It's, I am that. And so, you know, beyond that, that is true. You know, you feel yourself in your desired end result. When you believe it, you will see it. But Neville's work beyond that is profoundly deep and mystical, and that's the foundation for everything, knowing who we are. And that's what I want to share with you today, and probably in more upcoming shows and in my articles on the Power Peak. And, you know, what I want to share with you today is my present time realization of Neville. And as I said, there is no one like Neville. He was a theologian, but he said that the Bible is a purely psychological book. And all through the books that he writes, he quotes scripture and then interprets it esoterically. So the book, as I said, Your Faith is Your Fortune, starts like this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning was the unconditioned awareness of being. And the unconditioned awareness of being became conditioned by imagining itself to be something. And the unconditioned awareness of being became that which it had imagined itself to be. So did creation begin. By this law, first conceiving, then becoming that which was conceived, all things evolve out of no thing. And without this sequence, there is not anything made that is made. Before Abraham or the world was, I am. When all of time shall cease to be, I am. I am the formless awareness of being, conceiving myself to be man. My everlasting law of being, I am compelled to be. By my everlasting law of being, I am compelled to be and to express all that I believe myself to be. I am the eternal no-thingness, containing within my formless self the capacity to be all things. I am that in which all my conceptions of myself live and move and have their being, and apart from which they are not. I dwell within every conception of myself from this withinness. I ever seek to transcend all conceptions of myself. By the very law of my being, I transcend my conceptions of myself. only as I believe myself to be that which does transcend. I am the law of being, and beside me there is no law. I am that I am. Reverend Ike said, I am is the name of God, and it's the nature of the law. Whatever you add to I am, you become. Only through the door, here we going on with Neville. Only through one door can that which you seek pass into the world of manifestation. I am our consciousness, and I'm interjecting here. I am the God that lives me, the God that lives you. Infinite God mind that meets every demand is our awareness of being, is us. It's what lives us. It's what beats our heart, which makes our lungs to expand. It is our ability to breathe, the air that we breathe, and it's everything. It is what lives us. It's infinite, thriving, flourishing life. Now back to Neville. After my brief interjection, your consciousness is the door. So you must become conscious of being and having that which you desire to be and have. Any attempt to realize your desires in ways other than through the door of consciousness makes you a thief and a robber unto yourself. Any expression that is not felt is unnatural. Before anything appears, God, I am, feels itself to be the thing desired, and then the thing felt appears. It is resurrected, lifted out of the nothingness. I am wealthy, poor, healthy, sick, free, confined. Were first of all impressions or conditions felt before they became visible expressions. Your world is your consciousness objectified. Waste no time trying to change the outside, the change within or the impression, and the without or expression will take care of itself. When the truth of this statement dawns upon you, you will know that you have found the lost word or the key to every door, which is I am. Your consciousness is the magical lost word, which was made flesh in the likeness of that which you are conscious of being. I am He. Right now, I'm overshadowing you, the reader, the listener, my living temple, with my presence, urging upon you a new expression. Your desires are my spoken words. My words are spirit, and they are true, and they shall not return unto me void, but shall accomplish whereunto they are sent. They are not something to be worked out. They are the garments that I, your faceless, formless self, wear. Behold, I, clothed in your desire, stand at the door, your consciousness, and knock. All that's required of you is to believe. Believe your desires to be garments your Savior wears. Your belief that you are now that which you desire to be is proof of your acceptance of life's gifts. If I be lifted up in consciousness to the naturalness of my desire, I shall automatically draw the manifestation unto me. Consciousness is the door through which life reveals itself. Consciousness is always objectifying itself. We can only live what we believe. To be conscious of being or possessing anything is to be or have that which you are conscious of being or possessing. Therefore, lift yourself to the consciousness of your desire, and you will see it automatically outpicture itself. To do this, and this is a really powerful part of this, to do this, you must deny your present identity. You deny a thing by taking your attention away from it. To drop a thing, a problem, or ego from consciousness, you dwell upon God. God being, I am. Be still and know that I am is God. that I am is God. Believe, feel that I am. Know that this knowing one within you, your awareness of being, is God. Close your eyes and feel yourself to be faceless, formless, and without figure. Approach this stillness as though it were the easiest thing in the world to accomplish. This attitude will assure your success. When all thought of problem or self is dropped from consciousness, because you are now absorbed or lost in the feeling of just being I am, then begin in this formless state to feel yourself to be that which you desire to be. I am that I am. The moment you reach a certain degree of intensity so that you actually feel yourself to be a new conception, this new feeling or consciousness is established and in due time will personify itself in the world of form. This new perception will express itself as naturally as you now express your present identity. To express the qualities of a consciousness naturally, you must dwell or live within that consciousness. Appropriate it by becoming one with it. A man can receive nothing, no thing, no material thing, except it be given him from heaven. Remember, heaven is our consciousness. The kingdom of heaven is within you. This is why you're warned against calling any man father. Your consciousness is the father of all that you are. See no man as an authority. Why should you ask man for permission to express when you realize that your world, in its every detail, originated within you and is sustained by you as the only conceptual center? Your whole world may be likened to solidified space, mirroring the beliefs and acceptances as projected by a formless, faceless presence, namely, I am. Well, I wanted to read all of that uninterrupted, even though I interjected things because I get excited, because it's so powerful. It's so powerful. You know, when we realize that every single thing in our world is a reflection of what we believe, of our consciousness, consciousness is cause. Everything we see outside of us is an effect of our consciousness. When we take ownership of that, we are empowered. And not only are we empowered, but we are set free. Absolutely set free. Because the things that we think make us feel this way or make us do that way or treating us badly or, you know, bad luck or whatever it is, we're master and commander. We can stop that. And that the thing, when we believe anybody or anything is doing something to us, we have empowered them to do that. Not saying that those things aren't happening to us, but anytime you believe anything outside of you is doing something to you, you are creating your own monster by giving it that credit. You are giving it that power by believing it has the power to do that to you. And that is how powerful we are. Think of it that way. Think of it that way. You know, it's like U.S. Anderson said, the law that is in constant motion is the law of cause and effect. You know, whatever we believe, we're gonna see. Period. Period. Because we believe it. You know, that's it. We're thinking into the subconscious mind, and the subconscious mind is answering us, good, bad, or indifferent. And the subconscious mind is another word for God. I am all that is, the infinite God mind. So all of what I just read to you is powerful. And like I said, he writes differently, so it may be a little more difficult to take in, but your spirit gets it. Like they used to tell us at the Institute, can we take notes? Nope, your spirit will get it. Well, and your spirit does get it. And when you need it to appear for you again, your spirit will show it to you. You know, bring it about as some memory of like, holy cow, haven't thought about that in years. But anyway, the thing that if you want to change anything in your life, first and foremost, you have to know that the truth of your being is God, source, life, universe, all that is, I am, whatever your word is, the Tao, Brahman, Atman, whatever it is, the Christ. That's it. That is what you are. That is what lives you. That is the subjective aspect of you, and the objective aspect of you is what you see outside of you as from your body outward, from your body outward. But it's all you. It is all you. And so if you want to change anything in there, to know that I am God and that I can rest in the arms of the infinite God mind and just be healed and loved and feel that peace, that is where you go to effect change. You know, if I want anything in my life to change, I have to change myself, my consciousness, my beliefs, and what I accept. Neville said, your concept of self is all that you accept and consent to as yourself. So only I can change what I accept and consent to. He also said, and this is a biggie, faith in God is measured by confidence in yourself. That's one to take into meditation and ponder. Faith in God is measured by confidence in yourself. I get that. I get that. I feel that. You know, it resonates in me. It resonates in my consciousness. But it is something interesting to think about. Because, you know, to me, it goes back to God is only measured, that God is only glorified in my success. Well, when I say that to myself, you know, especially when I'm like, oh, this is, I don't like the way this is. And it's like, wait a minute, you know, God is only glorified in my success. So buck up, little soldier, you know, stop it. Just stop it. Get out of the way. Because the more you entertain what you do not want in your life, the more you grow what you do not want in your life. I mean, it's really, truly black and white. And whether you are a student of New Thought or Hinduism or Buddhism or anything, you know, infinite way. Joel is my dude, man. Joel's teachings changed my life because he gave me a mainline, you know, not going through anyone or anything. You know, you practice the presence of God. You know who you are and you live from there. But you know, even the Buddha, you know, all that we are is the product of all that we've thought. We're responsible. We're responsible. You know, if there's something we don't like, we don't change that thing by not liking it. We suffer because we don't like it. So we're it. We are it. We are self-contained. And so that the way he describes that formless, faceless presence, that just was a huge expansion for me. Just the way he described it. And when he said, you know, you drop everything, you drop the problem, you take your attention away from the problem or whatever it is, or ego, or the thing, you know, as he said, and you go into the silence of formless, faceless presence. And when I just want my experience of that was when I went into that silence. And just thinking in terms of formless, faceless, infinite life. No structure, just infinite life. It made it so easy to get to that place, to get to that silence. And what I felt when I was there was that I was at zero. And I don't, and that's the only way I can describe it. You know, Joel said, infinity is the measure of your being. And that's what I feel in that space. Limitless, infinite life. Just life. And at the same time, it's like a blank slate, but there's all that energy. Life is life, source. You know, I am. The reason I am, you know, imagines us and becomes us is because it wants to experience more of itself. And that's all there is to it. Well, in that space, in that formless, faceless presence, that's what I feel. That's what I feel. It's all there, and it's all me and mine. It belongs to me. Joel said, I and my Father are one. All that the Father has is mine. All that God is, I am. And the thing that is so cool about it is that it feels totally natural to be there, to be in the infinite God mind, to be home, to just be home. And, you know, Neville talks a lot about, you know, to get to the naturalness, to feel the naturalness of your desire. You know, in what I just read to you, he talked about being lifted up in consciousness to the naturalness of your desires. I realized that, you know, the square of life, which is abundance, wholeness, abundance, right relationships, and true place fulfillment. Wholeness, perfect health. Abundance, you know what that is. Right relationships, all relationship, right relationship, and true place fulfillment, which initially I learned to be your right livelihood, you know, your right place of work. But there's more to it than that. True place fulfillment. I think there's a true place of home. There's a true place of relationship. There's a true place of creativity. You know, I think there's so much more to it. And that's an interesting thing. I could do a whole show on true place fulfillment. But that is the square of life, or the divine standards is what they call them. Wholeness, abundance, right relationship, and true place fulfillment. Those are the things. The divine standards are what is natural, because that which lives me is God. And I should, I'm going to use the word should, desire. I should desire to demonstrate them, because God is only glorified in my success. God is our awareness of being. God is our awareness of being. We it's consciousness. We'd be nothing. I mean, our consciousness is life. Therefore, struggle and pain and fear and limitation is not natural. And that's why they feel so bad. Because they're not natural. You know, when you're doing something you love to do, and you are in it, and it is flowing through you, that's the feeling of naturalness. Because you are at that moment the inlet and outlet of that thing that you love. The inlet and outlet of supply. The inlet and outlet of creativity. The inlet and outlet of love. Love. You're in that space because you're loving what you do, and it is loving you back. So, you know, when we're, as I said, in struggle, pain, fear, limitation, humanhood, the definition of humanhood is a sense of separation from God. There is only one consciousness. But the human, quote-unquote, human race mind is the mind that is limited, restricted, that believes in lack, fear, limitation, restriction. You know, that's the small human mind. Separate from God, obviously. Because if you didn't think you were separate from God, those things wouldn't be anything that we would even consider or believe in. We go against our true nature when we accept them. And, you know, no matter what it is, it doesn't feel good. We do accept that, or they wouldn't be part of our experience. So now, on to Ernest Holmes and Creative Mind. He wrote, "Creative mind cannot force itself upon us because we have the power of self-choice. It recognizes us when we recognize it. When we think that we are limited or have not been heard, it must take that thought and bring it into manifestation for us. God has already done for us in a mechanical way all that he can do. And having been given the ability, we will have to do for ourselves the rest. Yet the great power is always near, ready at any time to help, but we must use it according to its own nature, in harmony with its laws. Man should learn that he himself is the center of this divine activity. Whatever man is, he must find that because he is made out of God, he must be of the same nature. This infinite one cannot know anything outside of itself, anything that would be a contradiction of its divine nature. Man's ignorance of his real nature binds him with his own freedom." I got to read that again because I put that in bold tape. "Man's ignorance of his real nature binds him with his own freedom." We're free to believe whatever we want. "Until he comes to see things as they really are and not as they appear to be. Everything that we see is a result of mind in action. The law implanted within us is that we need nothing except ourselves and this all-wise creative mind to make anything. And just so far as we depend on any condition, past, present, or future, or upon any individual, we are creating chaos because we are dealing with condition and not with causes. Every living soul is a law unto himself, but of this great truth, few people are conscious. It seems difficult for the race, the human race, which feels itself to be so limited, to comprehend the fact that there is a power that makes things directly out of itself by simply becoming the thing that it makes, and that it does this by self-knowing. But we will not demonstrate until we see at least some of this, the greatest truth about life. If we wish to transcend old thoughts, we must rise above them and think higher things. We are dealing with the law of cause and effect, and it is absolute. It receives the slightest as well as the greatest thought, and at once begins to act upon it. If we've been misusing this law, we need not fail. All we have to do is turn from the old way and begin in the new. We will soon work up out of the old law into the new, which is being established for us. When we desire only the good, the evil slips from us and returns no more. And so every path leads us back to one point, and we must learn to realize the near presence, the great reality. There, through the door of our own thought, we enter into the universal consciousness, into a complete realization of life and truth, of love and beauty. And as we sit in the silence of our souls and listen, it will be the greatest thing that we will ever do. In that completeness, we are lost, and yet we are found. This is what is meant that a man must lose his life in order to find it. We are lost to the human and found in the divine when we realize that we are one with cause. In practice, the emancipated soul must always realize that he is in union with the Father. What the Father does, he can do in his own life. What God is, he can become. His word must be spoken with absolute authority. He must know. There should be no uncertainty. The word is the only power. Everything must come from it, and nothing can stand against it. It is the great weapon which he is to use against all evil and for all good. It is his shield against all adversity and his sure defense against all seeming limitation. Ugh. Just touches my heart, makes my head want to explode. He goes on to say, the secret place of the Most High is in his own soul, where God dwells in eternal peace and infinite calm. People will often ask, what is the best method for demonstration? There is but one answer to that question. The word is the only possible method of demonstrating anything. The word really felt and embodied in our thought. Then the word becomes flesh and dwells among us, and we will ask for no other way when we understand this. Realize at all times that the Spirit makes things out of itself and needs no beginning except its own self-recognition. Then we must cognize our relation to this great power as one of absolute correspondence. What we think into it, it takes up and does for us as we think. So that was Ernest Holmes. And that was incredible, in my opinion. I hope you feel that way too. But what a two different voices saying the exact same thing. Saying the exact same thing. And so powerful. And Ernest Holmes, Neville is powerful, and Ernest is smooth. That's how it feels. Powerful but smooth. But you know, that being able to shift, you know, when something has you riled up or angry, or there's something you can't get out of your head that is not what you want to be thinking about. If you go into that silence, you know, going into there, focusing there, into that silence, into that consciousness, focusing there drops what's bugging you. It just does, because you have that to focus on, that formless, faceless, infinite life. An experience. You're there with your focus and experiencing it. So it automatically drops that thing. But to shift, you know, but then we have to think, we let the negative go, but we replace it. We replace it by what we want to experience, what we want to think about. And here's a great thing to focus on. It's Philippians 4:8. And I was looking for, I have a lovely thing from Neville, in which he references this, you know, and basically what he's saying is take your mind off the world, you know, leave the mirror and change your face, leave the world and change your experience. That's a Neville quote. So, you know, whatever's happening out there is happening, and by getting upset about it and focusing on it, does not help it. It does not help it. When you're upset about it, you suffer. You suffer for something that you cannot change. So by letting go of that suffering, then, you know, all you have to give the world is you. That's it. So what good you concentrate on, what good you bring into your consciousness, is what you as a vibration give to the world. So Philippians 4:8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Ah, and on that note, thank you for joining me today. I hope you found that valuable. There was a lot. I just slammed you with a lot of stuff. But you know what? It's all uplifting and powerful. And the feeling that I get when I hear that and read that is God in me. I exalt God in, you know, when you exalt God in the midst of anyone, even Neville Goddard, who's been gone for a long time, you exalt God in you. And so it's a vibration, a resonance that just builds and builds and builds. Anyway, thank you all for being here. You've been listening to Empowerment. I'm Kelly Whetstone. We're here on 1-2 Radio, where we're changing the way that we listen to the world. I appreciate you being here. I wish you a very, very blessed week. And please stay tuned for Katie Weaver. Thanks. Bye-bye.